You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires.
And Sierra Leone is launching his rally too. It is wide open. Catching Freedom's going to come through toward the inside. They're off the turn. Mystic Dan cut the corner and grabbed the lead right at the top of the stretch. Sierra Leone and Forever Young are shoulder to shoulder with a furlong to go, but they've got two lengths to make up on Mystic Dan, who's begging for the wire. Forever Young and Sierra Leone keep on coming. Sierra Leone, Forever Young, and Mystic Dan, a wild finish. Here's the wire. Photo finish. Three noses on the wire. Mystic Dan, Sierra Leone, and Forever Young in an international thriller.
Kentucky Breds Torpedo Anna and Mystic Dan making history last weekend beneath the Twin Spires. Trainer Ken McPeak grew up in Lexington, attended the University of Kentucky, and bleeds blue as much as anyone I know. So I thought it would be appropriate to feature Kenny on this week's Kentucky Bred Conversation presented by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development and Breeders Incentive Funds. A reminder that awards up to $3,000 a race is available from the Kentucky Breeders Incentive Fund for winning an allowance or maiden special weight race anywhere in the USA or at Woodbine Racetrack. And awards up to $4,000 a race is available for winning a non-graded stakes anywhere in the USA or at Woodbine. And that, my friends, is just the tip of the iceberg. I'll tell you about more incentives right after this week's Kentucky Bred Conversation with Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby winning trainer Ken McPeak, who joined me for an extended visit on my Wednesday afternoon trainer talk show. I started by asking Kenny what it's like to now hear the words Ken McPeak, Kentucky Derby winning trainer.
I'm going to tell you, I visualized it for a long time. You don't know whether it happened to you or not, but I think if you focus in on something and you put your mind to a goal, it takes a bit of magic and luck to do it too, but I'm pretty much in awe of it. It's wild.
We have talked many times over the years, Kenny, and I know how much you wanted this to become reality. Now that it is, you texted me before the program and you said that you feel like you're dream walking. And I remember visiting with Toby Keith years ago in his tour bus before a concert at Rupp Arena. And his stable was named Dream Walking Stable because he felt like that's what you're doing in the horse business. You're always dreaming and you're always dream walking. And so it was appropriate you would describe it like that.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of floating through everything. Like I said, it's something that I've always believed in, but we've worked and it happened. Wow.
Take me back to the moment when Mystic Dan hits the wire. It's a three horse photo. What was that moment like?
A bit surreal. I mean, when he was a couple of lengths in front at the eighth pole, I thought, okay, we got this. And then those other two horses came at him and, it was so close, but I was lucky because where I was located, I could get a pretty good angle on it. I felt pretty good that we had won it, but, there weren't any guarantees. I wanted them to post it before we got too celebratory, but, I've been on the winning end of that and I've been on the losing end of that. So it can be painful when you lose those photos.
You joined me on this trainer talk show for the first time. It was well over a decade ago. I don't remember the exact year, but there was a story you told me that has always stuck in my mind when I think of Ken McPeak. You said you remember going to Keeneland with your grandfather and going to the races there, and I think you told me you were less than 10 years old, maybe 8 years old, and you told me you remembered hanging on to his tweed jacket at the windows. And as I was watching you interviewed on NBC after the race, all I could think of was that particular story you told me, and what a moment that must have been.
Well, my grandfather was a really, really successful. He was actually vice president of R.J. Reynolds back in the 30s and 40s when R.J. Reynolds, we only had vice president was second in command. And he was very respected, and going to Keeneland and looking at the program, and we would go look at horses and sit in the grandstand seats. And that kind of kickstarted me. I found it interesting and learned how to read a pedigree when I was a boy. And it's a, you know, something I was always passionate about. I love reading pedigrees and how horses were made, and how they looked, and how they walked, how the line, how the pedigree crossed. I've always thought it was cool stuff, and now, yeah, I get paid to do it now, so it's wild.
Tell me the story of Mystic Dan and some of the things that you saw in him as a youngster that led you to say, okay, this horse could be really good someday.
Well, I trained his mother. I bought his mother.
Yep.
And Ted Bassett with Keeneland is he bred her. And so that's interesting. And,
yeah.
And I'd love to, I really want to have a conversation with Mr. Bassett, but I think his health's not great right now. And I find it ironic that somebody as special as him has a direct connection to this horse. And then, you know, we raced the mare out, and she was a good filly, but she wasn't great. She was a, you know, maiden claimer, starter allowance filly. I think she jumped through the allowance hoop, A of N, two of N maybe. But when they retired her, I convinced them to keep her. I said, you ought to keep her. She's out of a good, she was a solid filly. She'll throw a good foal. You'll have some fun with it. And they said, well, who should we breed her to? They let me make the decision on the mating. So I made the decision on the mating, and then obviously look at the result. I mean, wow. I mean, and actually that's what I've always envisioned doing, is helping people put this kind of deal together. And for it to actually happen, of course, there's so many people that breed horses that just put tons of money into it. And this was a $10,000 stud fee out of a $50,000 filly.
Why Golden Cents?
Well, she needed an injection of speed. She needed solid and speed. And she was, like I said, she was good filly, but she wasn't quite that fast. And you needed to get faster. And, you know, that's what, when people breed horses, I would always suggest breed to speed. You need fast. Then you need durability or stamina and sturdiness on the female line. And she offered that. And then he added the speed injection. Plus, you know, Harlan's Holiday on the top line for me is kind of what I would call full circle unfinished business. Because I think we really should have won the Derby with Harlan's Holiday. Mm-hmm. I think tactically we might have made a mistake. We maybe overthought it. I was, you know, really confident with him going in. And Harlan's Holiday, I mean, really was a deserving horse to have won the Derby. And, of course, one of them stole the race. And so those things happen. And, you know, we had to regret. I think he only got beat four lengths or something, maybe more. But for this horse to actually pull it off with all those things coming together is pretty wild.
Tell me more about the ownership group. There are several people involved in the ownership of Mystic Dan. Let's give them some credit.
Yeah, you know, look, down-to-earth people, they're not going to get too high about this. They're really enjoying the ride. The interesting thing, Lance Gassaway, who's probably my main go-to when I deal with things with Mystic Dan, and Sherilyn is his sister-in-law.
Yep.
His cousin's wife.
Okay.
And so Sherilyn's more active and Lance is more active. But anyway, you know, Lance is from Gould, Arkansas. Sherilyn, Shreveport, Louisiana. They have been in the farming business or in that. Well, Lance does massive farms. I can't even explain how big his business is. But they love coming to Hot Springs. And I met him at the crosswalk across the street from Oaklawn Park. My version of it is that a guy around the track named Kevin Gibbs, is his nickname's Opie. Opie's a pretty simple guy. He kept saying, he actually drove me to the airport, Sherry and I to the airport, my wife, and he'd drop us off, bring my car back, put it away. When I need picked up, he'd come get me in Little Rock. And he kept saying, you need to be Lance. You need to be Lance. It's been 7, 8, 9 years ago. You and Lance, you got to meet Banks Hamby. You got to meet Lance. He kept going on and on about it. I'm like, yeah, okay. They'll be over at the crosswalk. So I just walked across there one day after the races and, you know, you can go in there and have a good cold beer, and it's a real fun place. For anybody that's been to Hot Springs, you probably know it. And met Lance and Banks and whole gang, and we you know, they're good. They're like me. They're just like having a good time and laughing. And so Lance one day says, yeah, get me a horse. Just, you see something good, get me a horse. So I put him in on a couple of the Magdalena Racing Partnership horses. And for those out there that know what those are, they're very uncomplicated. I like to go to an auction. If I see a horse, I buy a horse.
Yep.
And then I'll call anywhere from 5, 10, however many people that it takes to fill the partnership out, and then we fill it out, and then we go race the horse. And that's Torpedo Anna's story. That filly I bought her on spec. I bought Curlin on spec. I bought Swiss Skydiver on spec. I didn't have client at all. I just said, that looks like a fast horse to me. I think I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to get that deal done. So I'll do a lot of that. And, you know, I think that's just I don't know. I mean, I don't think training horses is rocket science. I mean, you definitely have to have the touch and the knowledge, and it's, but I find it relatively easy at this stage, and you keep it simple. But the hard part is finding a good horse, and making a good horse and finding a good horse is what was basically the result this weekend. And if you try to think that, oh, you know, that he's a better trainer or he's a better jockey, it doesn't, that isn't true. They're better trainers because they got better horses. They're better jockeys because they ride better horses for better trainers. And they're better owners because they have better horses too. And it's not necessarily all, you know, that somebody's better than each other, but you have to have the stock, the talent, the horse talent is more important than anything. And, you know, I focus in on that regularly. Then when you get horses in the stable, you've got to figure out how talented are they or aren't they? And then you have to advise, hey, you know, whether it's Paul Fireman or Scott Leeds or people, Harold Lerner, people I love working for, hey, you know, this is a slow horse, or this one's a good one, or maybe this is the level we fit, or maybe we don't. And then we try to adjust and figure out, you know, where we land. And, you know, for us to land on the top of the heap this past weekend is, wow, okay. We've been focusing on trying to hit the top of the heap, though.
Penny, is there anything about winning your first Kentucky Derby that has, I don't know, has surprised you? Something you didn't expect to feel or experience after winning that first Derby when you played it out so many times in your head before?
Not particularly. I think I visualized it for a long time. I put it down as a life goal. I think if you focus in on anything in life and you believe you can do it and you work hard enough, it'll happen. You know, I've wondered whether I was going to be one of those that I wasn't lucky enough to do it. And look, I am lucky. I mean, that could have gone another way if those other two horses on the outside had a great trip, but we had the great trip. We could have had the bad trip and then the great trip. I mean, so yeah, there's a lot of luck to play into it. It's, you have to be fortunate. You know, what I really want to talk about is Brian.
Yeah.
Is Brian, he won that race. Look, we gave him a great horse to ride. But he put a great ride on that horse. That's probably one of the best Derby rides I've ever seen. I mean, I know Calvin did it a lot, but to win by a nose and do it the way he did it, save every inch of ground. Brian, okay, we did jump him out of the gate on Wednesday. That was my call. I wanted to see him zip away from there because I didn't want him flat-footed chasing the whole way. And I do think that was a key factor in, you know, another inch or two difference in winning or losing. But he got him in rhythm after that, and he kept him in rhythm. And the horse has wonderful cruising speed, and he's very efficient underneath himself. He's got a great mind. But when he cruised into the second turn, and he just had to hesitate a little bit behind Track Phantom, and he balanced him out. He didn't panic. he waited and he waited, and then he saw it might have been 12-inch, 16-inch hole, and went. And the horse went through there so fast, Track Phantom didn't know what happened, and bounced at, came out of the turn. I mean, that was the difference in winning and losing, is a Cajun rider with a savvy ride. Brian Hernandez is amazing. That's why I use him.
Kenny, this win in the Derby now is going to be something that will always be alongside your name. You'll always be able to answer yes to the question when somebody asks you if you've ever won the Kentucky Derby. And there are going to be a lot of other things that come along with it, not just this year, but moving forward. One of the things I read on social media was that you said you would love to go back to your alma mater, the University of Kentucky, and attend a basketball game in Rupp Arena and make the Y when UK does their events in between the TV timeouts. You think you'll get a chance to do it?
You know, it's kind of, you know, I've been to a lot of UK basketball games in my life, and yes, I bled blue and bleed blue, and I married a girl from that went to U of L, of all things. And so I told her, I said, good news, bad news, sweetie. I said, we're going to get tickets to the Louisville game next winter. And I said, and I'm going to do the Y. She's like, really, can I wear red? I said, of course you can wear red if you choose. But I'm wearing blue.
I told you Kenny bleeds blue as much as anybody I know. Join me next Saturday here on the Equine Forum for another edition of Kentucky Bred, presented by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development and Breeders Incentive Funds, providing awards up to $5,000 and $7,500 for winning a Grade 1, Grade 2, or Grade 3 race anywhere in the USA and in multiple countries, and awards of $200,000 allocated to the top 20 claiming horses in Kentucky with the most claiming wins in the Bluegrass State. Breed them, raise them, race them. We all win with Kentucky Breds.